Thanks for downloading the Wave Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Forrest Gump, I think it was, that said, and I will not do the accent, but life is like a box of chocolates. Well, I'm just going to refute that. I'm happy that's for Forrest, but for me, I think I want to present to you that life is like a jigsaw puzzle. And I'm interested to know that they call this a jigsaw puzzle. If you look up the word puzzle in the dictionary, the first word you're confronted with is the word confusing. And now, I don't want to add to your confusion. I'm hoping that this morning we can, us preachers have a thing. Sometimes we preach, but sometimes we just tell the truth. And so this morning, we're going to tell the truth, because if we could put up the picture on the front of this box on the screen so that you will see it, it's I looked very, very far and wide for this incredible photo. This is what it says. Are you looking at the photo? This is what it says on the back of the box. Here we see Jesus strolling comfortably with Peter in his hands. Or with Peter in his hands, Peter holds the symbolic keys of God's kingdom. What truths and insights. Man, you can read some stuff into a picture. It says, what truths and insights could they be sharing? How marvelous to have the chance to listen in on the kind and insightful words of our Savior to his disciple. Wow. Is that your life? No, mine neither. And there's the problem, because here's the deal. Here's the deal. See, now this may not be the picture you want of your life, but we all have a picture. And we get it from the toy shop as a child and we carry it through, or someone bought us, I know it's Father's Day, but so this is for the ladies, someone bought you a Cinderella outfit, or you had a Spider-Man suit. And so that became like the ideal, and we have it. But here's the trick with it. You don't get it like that. You get it like this. You get it piece at a time. Hence the name. I love it when we have 8 services a day and people have to clean up after. We've already had 6 services. There was 1,500 pieces to this jigsaw when we started. There's only 140 left. So our lives have been shortened. But this, I don't know if you've, did you get that picture there? You see, we dream about this, but this is what we've got to live with. And I want to deal with this today if we could, because if we don't deal with it, if we don't tell the truth about how this works, have a look at this day here. This was a great day. I was 4. But my parents said I was 5 and they put me into school. Now, you need to, there's a backstory. I'm one of 12 children. I have 7 sisters, all with hairy backs. And it's Father's Day, cut me some slack. And we mow them once a month. They're okay, they don't travel too much. I'm in America visiting my sisters. They live in Australia, but they look a lot better from here, I can well assure you. So understand, I have 7 sisters, I have 4 brothers. My mother had 12 children in 16 years. And so when I got to 4, I don't know why she picked me, her most conservative, quiet child. In fact, my mother used to say to people, my son Steve has 2 speeds, on and moron. And I don't know what she meant. But so at the age of 4, my parents took me to school and told the people I was 5, and I went to started my schooling life. And not a real good day, that one. Here's a good day. I was 15 years old, right there, and I said to my mother, Mum, at the end of this year, I will be legally eligible to leave school and get a job. And she said, that is correct in our country. And so I said, now, here's the thing I've thought, that if I wait till after school holidays, as we have them in our upside-down part of the world, then I go to look for a job with everybody else, I may be slightly behind the 8 ball. So I think I should have a day off school and go now. Of course, my mother was going to say, nonsense, you're a wonderful child. But she said, good idea. And so in September, of that year, I took a day off school and went to the city of Brisbane, a city of 2 million people these days, and I knocked, I'll give you a clue. Here's how it worked. Queen Street is the main street. I wanted to be a chef, so I knocked on every restaurant door in Queen Street, then Adelaide Street, then Ann Street, then Turbot Street, and then Wickham Terrace, where I got an apprenticeship that day, which was marvellous for a 15-year-old. Good day, that one. Seriously a good day. Come back here. 13 years old. I asked my mother, and I said, "Mum, where's Dad?" She didn't look at me. She kept looking out the window preparing the evening meal. I was 13. What's she going to tell me? Till finally she said, "I don't think he loves us anymore." Yeah, good day, that one. That's the sort of day you want. Now listen, I could pick up, I'm 58 years old. There are 21,500 pieces of my puzzle. And how many in yours? Wouldn't it be great just to talk about this? But unfortunately, we got to deal with this. If I could ask for a photo of my family to be put up. This is where we arrive today. I've tried to be diligent with the putting together of the puzzle. And so, but this picture's taken 58 years to arrange for the coffee table. You understand? Some of you, let me just read to you a jigsaw. Here's the dictionary definition. A puzzle consisting of a lot of differently shaped pieces, I like this word, that you try to fit together in order. So you end up, it says, with a complete picture. This is what you're dreaming about. But I'm not sure whether you're here or here. Pastor Rachel's already mentioned triumph and trial. Are you in triumph today? Or you're in trial today? What I want to help you with today, if we could, is to understand, okay, how do you do this? Now, my picture's on the coffee table at the moment, but I'm only here. There's still all those pieces. So we won't get too cocky. Won't get too cute about it. I'm understanding some of us are on the mountain drinking champagne. Others are looking for the car keys in a dark dungeon of garage. I understand where we're all at. And I want to be tender about it. But there still has to be a way, because the Bible clearly states for us, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good." There is a complete picture for you. Now, there are pieces of that picture you'd rather trade in. But when all the pieces come together, we have a lady in our country who became famous around the world, forgive me, but some 30, 35 years ago. Her name was Lindy Chamberlain. A movie was made about her ordeal, and it was called "A Dingo Took My Baby." I read an interview of Lindy Chamberlain's just a couple years ago that my wife brought home from an event where she heard her speak. Lindy was camping with her young husband and a small child just days old when a wild animal in our country took the child from the tent, and the child was never seen again. To cut it short, the lady had to then endure the accusations that she had taken the child's life, that she had sacrificed the child in some ritual or cult. She was imprisoned, only to then be totally vindicated by a royal commission. And the whole time this was going on, she stood as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and never lost her testimony, because she understood that she was trying to fit the pieces together. I guess the events of that particular time of her life were one she would have loved to have been gotten differently. But I read the article that came home, and this is what she said, and it so impacted me. She summarized her life, and she's sort of more later in years now, so she's closer to presenting that whole jigsaw, and I've left out the word puzzle. I'm not sure it has to be a puzzle. But she said this, she said, "Did I want a dingo to take my baby? Of course not. But whatever had to happen, For me to be able to stand here with who I am and the lot I've been given, I accept in the love of God. I thought, oh God, can I please get there, Lord? Can I please get there? So look, I could preach it as a preacher and it'd be six keys and they all work fantastically. But let me preach it like a dad. Let me preach it like a fellow traveller. Let me preach it like I hope this will work for you, like I've got to make it work, like your pastor has to make it work 24/7. If you're ahead of the game, then there's a way for this to start. Now, you'll appreciate I've tipped this out on the lounge room floor at home before I got here, so I can help you. You'll need to find one of these. Is that okay? In fact, you're going to need to find four of these if you're going to make your jigsaw find its purpose. So I want to give you four things today that I think, and I want to scripturally base them. And to not get too complicated, I want to use the most popular verse in all of Scripture, the most quoted verse in all of Scripture. You could quote it with me, but we all have different versions. So here it comes: for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, turn to your neighbor and say, you'd have to fit into that whoever bit. You hold that thought. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Please, I want to tell you, maybe you're holding a peace. The day you're in right now is painful. And you're thinking, will I ever get this thing sorted out? Well, if you haven't started with the foundation, then may I suggest to you these four things. Here's the first thing I learned from this verse that I think will be helpful for us. It says, for God so loved. Now, I want to just point this out. It doesn't say God loved. I've got relatives, so you'll appreciate with 11 siblings, all with spouses and children, and our children with children and uncles and aunties and everything. My dad's one of four, my mum's one of seven. That I have people in all of that I love, but I don't like. Come on, I'm not the preacher today. I'm just your friend. You know, I love him. Is he coming to your next party? No. Why not? Because I love him, but I don't like him. All right, so you understand what I'm saying. Listen, what the scripture says, let me turn it on its head. Let's turn it negative. Occasionally, Susie, my wife, is here with me today, and 40 years we have been married this year, in just a few months, in fact. She sometimes says to me, I'm mad with you. And I push the envelope, I want to know how mad. So I say, well, exactly, like slightly mad, how mad? And she goes, so mad. I'm to understand from that little two-letter word that she's just pulled out a metaphoric drawer full of adjectives that would need to be censored if all said. So she just puts them all together in a little type of a prefix type of a word. And so she's not just mad, she's so mad. Well, it works the other way. When your grandkids ask you, or I ask my grandkids, Bosty, do you love Pop? Yes, Pop, I love you. Well, I want to know how much. I say, how much do you love Pop? Boston's three. Right now, as I'm speaking, he's in hospital at home with a drip in his arm with pneumonia. And so we've been on the FaceTime this morning and I'm seeing how he's doing. Hey, Bosty, do you love Pop? I love Pop. How much do you love Pop? So much. You getting it? See, so God didn't just love you. God's not fulfilling, if you can get this, if you can, God's not fulfilling an obligation. Well, I guess I got to bundle their sorry ass out of this. That's not in God's vocabulary. He doesn't love you, mate. He so loves you. I'm going to lose quite a portion of the audience with this next little bit. 1973. World number one hit. Now, I don't know whether fiction came before fact. I don't, you know the old, what come first, the chicken or the egg? So I don't know whether the song came first and then people mimicked the song, or, you know, the song was a reporting of a fact. But here's how legend puts it. There's a young man, country town, married to the prettiest girl in the town. Both their families are prominent. He feels the pressure of keeping her in the way that she is accustomed. He has a good, steady job, but he finds he starts cheating the workplace. Like we call it, cooking the books. Is that a term that floats here? He starts doing things he shouldn't. You know, charging a little extra with people who aren't paying attention to their expenses, and siphoning off, and everyone's amazed at how successful he is. Well, that doesn't last. He gets caught, and he's sent off to the big house, we call it, and to cool his heels. He's brought disgrace on this beautiful woman, and he has plenty of time to think about what he should do. When he comes out, so he writes her a letter. He wants to know, do you still love me? Now, he's not using language like, do you so love me? Do you still like the way I flick my hair? There's none of that. There's no adjectives in it. He's sort of prepared to be an honest man and bring honor to her name. He's not hopeful of great intimacy, but he'll do the right thing. I'm coming home, I've done my time. I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me. That's everyone over 60 there. Thank you, Robert Cameron. So he's written to her, and he asked her to do just one thing. Just tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. Now, I don't know, you just got to feel like in the song that the oak tree might be the first place they had a kiss. It's a significant place to him, maybe the whole town. Maybe in grade three they swapped a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they knew this was love, because everyone who does that knows. If I don't see a ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, put the blame on me. If I don't see a ribbon round the old oak tree. I'm waiting for it. Not quite spontaneous, but I'll take it. About a mile out, he's nervous. He's sweating bricks. He can't even look. The word gets around the bus. Bus driver, please look for me. I couldn't bear to see what I might see. I'm really still in prison, and my love, she holds the key. A single yellow ribbon's what I need to set me free. I wrote and told her, please. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old tree, yeah. He only wants a ribbon. He's not looking for so loved. He's just looking for, I'll make an honest woman out of you. I'll sleep in the couch. Well, they come around the corner. He's down the back, he's got his head in his hands. Now the whole... Can't say the next word. Let's say darn. Now the whole darn bus is cheery, and I can't believe I see. What did he want? He just wanted a ribbon. Just tell me. 100 yellow ribbons. What was this woman saying to him? We said, oh, yeah, right, oh, I'll take you back. Need a bit of alimony. That's not what she's saying. She's saying, I so love you. Look, I don't know what you did. God tied a yellow ribbon, if I can use it as a metaphor. God put his only son, Jesus Christ. So when you finally come around the corner in the bus of whatever circumstance you're in and you see you are not to think that he's committed to you, he's obligated to you, he wants you to know you are loved, you are so loved. There's nothing that you could have done that could have turned his love from you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Pastor Rach, before I'm done, I'd love to pray for people that are not connected to Jesus. Maybe you're here, maybe in our Seaboard campus, online, in Australia. I'll stay here, you stay there. But maybe I'll just ask you to raise a hand and I'll see you. I'll say put it down and I'll pray for you right where you sit. The second thing I see in this verse, it says that he gave. I want to talk to you about this because it's got two sides to it. Like a dollar coin. A dollar coin has a heads and a tails. If you put it on its heads, it's worth a dollar. If you put it on its tail, it's worth a dollar. The value is the same whichever way you look at it. And there's something so valuable about this word. For God so loved the world that he gave. But if you turn that word over, you'll see the word forgave. And I'm here to tell you that if you would learn the power, things have happened. Look at this here, this piece of your life. I'll never talk to him again. And it remains a puzzle. But God's given us a secret in this verse that if we could forgive, I don't know if you've ever said it slow enough to realize that word for is before. I give this before. God loved you before. Romans 5 says, while we were still sinners, he died. He gave. He forgave. It doesn't work too good for us, does it? Well, I'll forgive him if he... I have a fellow in my church, not now, at home, who ticked me off. Now, I know that's incongruent with what you're looking at because I'm the pastor of the church. And you know the grass at my home does not grow. I drive my car in the rain, it does not get dirty. It's just because I'm a man of God. So I hate to burst that bubble, but there was a fellow in the church, he ticked me off. The thing that ticked, oh, I could get angry thinking about it. The thing that ticked me off the most was that he didn't even know. Have you ever had someone like that? Every morning, hello, Bob, they say to you, and you hate them. I'm overstating it, but only that much. No matter what he did, but he did something. It was worthy of my venom. Sorry to be driving down your street today. Come on, you've told someone this week, why is life so hard? Find the corner, mate. I was talking to Jesus one morning and he started to say, why don't you buy Bill, we'll call him, a gift? Buy him one yourself. Hello, you're the one with the kettle on 1,000 hills. Are you serious? Anyway, it's dangerous talking to Jesus, so I had to take a step of faith. Well, I had to do what the Bible said. I bought a gift. Robert Cameron, you're a golfer. You understand this. For the camera, an Odyssey two-ball putter was the number one putter on the PGA Tour at one time. So I bought one of these putters. This fellow was a golfer. I went to his home after work one day and knocked on his door. He came to the door and said, hello. That annoyed me. No, come on. I can tell you some of you have been there. That annoyed me. I want this guy to know he's a dipstick. And apparently he doesn't realize it. And of course now I want to tell him. But God told me not to. God said, just look around and find the peace. I said, I've been thinking about you this week, Bill. He said, that's nice. And I thought you wouldn't want to know what I was thinking. Because it wasn't nice at all. But I chose to let that one go. So I thought I should put thought into action. I bought you a gift. I don't know why. But it's almost like when I handed the gift, I did a transaction with heaven. Look at me, I'm 58. I know it's not easy. Not suggesting it's easy. Look, I got bits here I've wanted to kill people over. So have you. But when I handed it to him, it's like I found a corner that'll get me a picture. If I put the pieces together, delivered to me daily. I floated back to my car, obviously not really, but I felt like it. Susie knows the man I'm talking about. I promise you, we are very good friends. And what the devil tried to destroy, God, by example, gave his only son. And as I forgave and gave, I gained a foundation. The third thing I saw, I hope it's helpful. The third thing I saw to help me get the picture. Can we put that picture of my family up again? And please, I wonder whether I should do this because I don't want to cause anyone any hurt or pain. I understand my jigsaw is still being worked on. There are people not yet in that photo. There's a 36-year-old girl in that photo married to a pastor. They preached this weekend. There's a 32-year-old girl married to a man on the oversight of the church he attends. There's a 30-year-old woman in there, religious worship in her church. Husband's a fine fella. And there's my son, I think, on the far left with his wife in front. Good people, all serving Jesus. I've tried to fit this together using the corners God's given. The third thing I see here is, for God so loved the world that he gave, so that if anybody believes. We have so much that sort of tears at our can I say optimism, our believing. I listened to an interview of a young golfer, has been world number one, an Irish boy named Rory McIlroy. And he said to him, and he's achieved so much before the age of 25, and he just said, my parents just always believed in me. And maybe your circumstance, I mean, when you ask your mum when you're 13 where your dad is, that's going to take you, knock your believing around. Some of you trusted, abused that trust for many reasons. That's going to knock your believing around. But I feel Holy Spirit wants you to believe again. Common story. The big 1,000-pound elephant that you see at the circus, you may have noticed that it's tied to a wooden stake with no more than like a small dog chain. It's not even at the edge of the chain trying to pull it. It's not even trying. And if you read why, it's because when it was a little elephant and they put that dog chain on, when it was the size of a dog, they put the dog chain on. And it did pull at it because it had idealism and optimism. It knew it had a plan and a purpose. It knew it was made for something enormous. It's somewhere in its innate ability to think, it knew that it could pull a house down in potent. So it pulled on that chain and it tore the flesh of its leg. And so it went back in within the boundary. So now it is thousands of pounds. It now is the definition of the beast that can pull a house down. Yet it stands there immobilized by what's happened in the past. And I feel Holy Spirit saying there are people here he wants to set free. Your chains are gone. It's done. You say, what have I got to do? You've got to do nothing. Because God sent his son. It's what he's done for you. Lastly, there's one more that I just can't escape. And you've got to get this one. It's for God so loved that he gave his only son. So if you will believe, you'll have everlasting life. I got a picture of a friend of mine. His name's Patrick. I want him to come onto the screen. This is Patrick. What a champ. What an absolute champion. Patrick was 3 years old in this photo. His parents are Sarah and Ben. Ben's a high school teacher, Sarah's a hairdresser. They both led worship in our church. Patrick's mum, is my eldest daughter's best friend. Sarah went in one morning, and the piece she'd been given was that Patrick was dead in his bed. It's just expired. I don't know, it's not a cool word to say in these parts, but that's a hell of a day. Contextually correct. That is hell visiting. And that's where people lose it. That's where it becomes a puzzle. But Susie and I went to the funeral, and Ben stood in this aisle and Sarah in this aisle after the ceremony. And there was a line of people as far back as you could see in the auditorium that was used. Being a young couple, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And so I stood in line. I'm not there as a pastor. I'm just there as a friend who wants to hug a friend who's going through hell. So when I got about seven away, I'm thinking about how I can console Ben, and then I'll join the line for Sarah. But when I get about seven out, and then six out, then five out, my turn's coming, I'm hearing Ben consoling the huggers and not the other way around. And I heard him say to one, the scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 12, where King David also lost a child prematurely. I'm not suggesting this is a day to buy a lotto ticket. It's not a good day. But God says, you have everlasting life. And Ben was saying to this fellow as he hugged him, he said, look, Patrick's not going to come back to me. But I'm going to him. This is not the last piece, friend. This is not your last piece. It's going on. When I left to come to this country just now, that group of family photos I showed you, they came over. And there was a bit of sadness because I'm going away, but they know I'm still here. And they know we'll soon be united. I'm not saying they're the best days of your life, but I will say this to you, that if you understand this corner, you understand that death is a date, not a state. And I'll finish with this, because sometimes, honey, bridey lady in our church, and I'm done with this, an Irish lady in our church, bridey, was sitting in church one Sunday morning when she died, apparently. I'm not a doctor, but apparently. Teeth came out, lots of things, fell to the ground. I'll tell you how much we thought she died. Her husband, John, is standing there, and he's saying this. He's about 75. He's saying, it's time to go. It's time to go. To be sure. It's time to go. And I'm thinking, you're not helping, mate. Because I'm just sort of thinking, see, everlasting life starts after death, but sometimes death comes before it's supposed to. So I'm at least going to give it a crack. Look, your business, they might be telling you it's dead, but maybe God's saying, no, not yet. There's everlasting life for this. You hear me? Our hope is beyond the grave, but while there's life. So I talked to Toby, I talked to two of my elders, said, get him out. Jesus did it. Jesus kicked people out that weren't. So we kick him out. And then a couple of us get around and said, in Jesus, command life to come into her. That's all it was, nothing more. I got home from church that day. She went off in an ambulance because that's always a good precautionary. Phone rang that afternoon. I said, hello. She said, oh, to be sure, Pastor. And it's Bridie's ringing me on the phone. She's not only been to hospital, but now she's home again. I said, Bridie, I thought you were dead. She said, well, I'm obviously not. She said, it wasn't my time. And I just feel Holy Spirit. I got to finish. I'm just saying, maybe others have said it's your time. Maybe the marriage is over or the sickness is over. Why don't you talk to God? Why don't you see if everlasting life, because it doesn't know time. It doesn't wear a watch. Maybe everlasting life's got to come back to that marriage, back to that business, back to that situation. In Jesus' name, I declare a miracle. Bow your head. I need to hand back to Pastor Rachel, but before I do, in Seaboard, online, if you're not connected to Jesus, I said I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you've never been connected to Jesus, not vibrantly. Maybe you have, but you've slipped away. Maybe you say, Steve, I'm not sure. I'd love to pray for you today, right where you sit. All I'll do is pray for you. I'll stay here, you stay there. If you're listening online, there'll be an opportunity for you to respond in Seaboard. But here, would you look at me if you're saying, Steve, include me in this prayer? Maybe if I ask everyone else to bow their head, you'd be praying for your friends. Look at me if I can pray for you. And simply raise a hand and I'll say, put it down when I see it. But so I can acknowledge you and then pray. God bless you, I'll pray for you. God bless you, sir, I'll pray for you. Someone else, look at me. Raise it, God bless you, sir, God bless you, sir. Someone else, look at me. Keep it up till I see it. God bless you, sir. Someone else, look at me. Keep it up till I see it. God bless you at the very back there. I'll pray. God bless you, sir. Someone else. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to acknowledge you. I want. God bless you, sir. I'll pray for you. There's someone else. Look at me. Raise a hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. I'm calling you ma'am and calling you sir. It's respectful, but God's more personal than that. And I think you understand that. But I love to see you smile when we lock eyes. You know you've been acknowledged. For those online, God acknowledges you. I'm going to ask once more. I need to. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Someone else, look at me. Raise a hand. I'll see it. I'll say, put it down. Wave it if I haven't seen it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Church, can we pray this prayer? If you raised your hand, it's important that you pray this prayer. I'm giving you the words, but it's your prayer. It's a simple prayer. It's not formal, but it'll just help you know the sort of prayer that you can pray to talk to God. So let's all do it together. I want you to be strong in the prayer from the start to the finish. Say, dear God, I've opened my heart today for the love of God. I thank you for Jesus, your Son. I thank you, you sent him. I thank you, he died in my place. I take confidence today that I can live in victory. I can live forgiven. I can have a brand new start. Starting today for the rest of my life and eternity beyond. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.